We're going to hear from God. We're going to get into His Word. We're going to draw from Him today. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for sending Your Son, the Word made flesh, coming to dwell among us, and now through Your Spirit, to dwell in us. Thank You so much. Lord, come and make Your name great through Your Word today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're gonna be diving into Acts chapter 9. Really cool story. Acts chapter 9 is the story of a man named Saul, who is a violent opposer of Jesus, violent opposer of the gospel. But what we're going to get into is not just a violent man, but how God breaks in and opens the eyes of the blind. So here's a question for you to be thinking about. In the charismatic world, we value gifts of the Spirit, value hearing prophetically from God. We value that God is a healer, and He loves to restore us. He loves to make us whole. And sometimes we can almost to a fault go, God is a healer, God is a healer, God is a healer, and forget that God is also at work in our suffering, and that God is always up to something. It's not just that, wow, we saw God break through when we see healing, but there's ways that God is breaking through in our lives even before we see healing. And so there's a couple of questions that are going to pop up here on the screen I want you to think about. Can God be at work even in our blindness? Not just in our seeingness. Can God be at work in our blindness? And how does suffering promote a God who supposedly heals? Dangerous stuff. In some realms of the church, it's not even okay to talk about this. Can God be at work when you're not experiencing healing, when you're not experiencing the breakthrough? I think in our minds, a lot of us would say, well, yeah, of course He is. But in our hearts, we can begin to question, is God really good? Is He really a good, good Father? Well, let's read this story. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. He's smart. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. Interesting street, huh? Go to Straight Street. Say it 10 times fast. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. And taking food, he was strengthened. And for some days, he was with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, He is the Son of God. And all who heard him were amazed and said, Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus, by proving that Jesus was the Christ. When many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he'd come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So he went in and out among them at Jerusalem, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. And he spoke and disputed against the Hellenists, but they were seeking to kill him. And when the brothers learned this, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. Wow. Here we are again. We've been coming through these first few chapters of Acts. And you see trouble hitting the church, and the church multiplies. You see the Spirit poured out on the church, and the church multiplies. You see all this opposition coming, and every time opposition comes, multiplication, multiplication, multiplication. Here we are in chapter 9, multiplication, I think I just said. Multiplication. Between Brent and I today. We'll have some good pronunciation for you. God keeps multiplying the church, even as opposition keeps coming. And here's this man, Saul, who had stood approving of the death of Stephen, as Stephen was stoned to death as a heretic. The same Saul who goes to Damascus specifically to round up Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem. God has a plan. He has a great plan. Now, country music star Johnny Cash, he was known as kind of one of the bad boys of country music back in, when I was a kid? When what? In the day, back in the day. He was kind of one of the bad boys, and he was called the Man in Black. But this particular story about Saul intrigued Johnny Cash, and he actually wrote a book about the life of Saul. and how Jesus broke in and changed this man's life. His book is called The Man in White. Here we see Saul on a mission to destroy the church when this blazing, blinding light literally blinds him on the road. And we're going to teach you in the coming weeks, we're going to be teaching a new song as we get into January that starts off as bright as a million suns, singing about Jesus, this amazing, amazing Jesus. He encountered the man in white, Saul, encountering Jesus. I want to get at something. We're going to get at three very specific points today. The first one is this, we get from this story. Jesus is bold enough. He's not only a healer. Is he a healer? Yes. He is bold enough to blind us in order to correct our vision. Jesus is bold enough to disrupt your life to the point you think, I can't even see the way forward. He is bold enough to blind you so that you can truly see. And if you think you're serving a timid Jesus who, like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. Can they handle this? I don't know if they can handle this. If I roll in on Saul, the guy who wants to destroy the church, and I come in and I blind him, he may completely turn his back on me. That's not God. Jesus is bold enough to interrupt your life to get your attention. Now, when we were worshiping today, and I had that sense of the like a diamond, I'm seeing like a clear jewel, and that diamond shifting, I'm just seeing the light begin to scatter. I feel like this is an area where God is really wanting to open our eyes to some new aspects of this is our God. This amazing, bold Jesus. Beautiful Jesus. Stunning. Brilliant. Bold Jesus. Saul is not just in the our flippant rock sense. Blinded by the light. Classic rock and roll. He's blinded by the light, but it's not like this catchy little moment in Saul's life. It is a knocked to the ground, literally blinded for 3 days. This Saul, we find out later in the book of Acts, we find out that he is highly educated man, very intelligent, trained up at the feet of a man named Gamaliel, a key instructor in the law. Paul is a scholar. He is a studied, studious man. He loves the Word of God. And yet, he completely opposes the Word of God. And this man whose whole life has been given to the law, been given to study, been given to scholarly leadership in the church. Imagine, just think about it for you guys who love to read, you love to learn, and suddenly you're blinded. Jesus, he got inside the head of a very intelligent man. He knew the word, and suddenly he can no longer read the word. He has 3 days with his thoughts. 3 days being totally blinded, having just heard this voice saying, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And what he could not see before in his blindness, he can now see. And by the time Ananias shows up to his house, where he's staying, he's ready to be baptized. Guys, our life interruptions. Think about it. What's your life interruption? What is the crazy, difficult things? You're like, how do I get through this? Those very life interruptions, those very struggles can be the very things God is using to open your eyes to something brand new in Him. A freshness in Him you couldn't even imagine before. Like Saul, he couldn't imagine that Jesus was really the way, that Jesus was the Messiah. He had literally overseen the execution of people who believed Jesus was the Messiah. He could not see it. His spiritual eyes were blind. And God came in and blinded him physically, and it enabled him to see spiritually. So sometimes it's not like a literal blindness. I don't think we have anyone in the room today who is actually physically, literally blind. People may be listening on the podcast who actually are. And there's breakthrough, there's healing. We do believe God's a healer. I like that the story didn't leave Saul blind. But sometimes our blindness can be in whole areas of our lives. And we find ourselves running right into the middle of financial stress, financial shockers, where God uses that very struggle to get a hold of us, and we realize, I thought I was worshiping Jesus. I'm really worshiping money. And our eyes become open to something we couldn't even see it before. Sometimes in the middle of our health challenges, whether it's sickness, disease, whether it's broken bodies, whether it's mental things that are going on, right in the middle of that, God uses it. I'm not saying God speak really careful. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy, not to applaud and build up the works of the enemy. We never see Jesus all through his life. We never see an affirmation that Jesus wants to make you sick. What I'm saying is the devil may have a really awful plan and he may want to take you out. But in the middle of that, God has a better plan, a deeper plan. If you've ever read The Lord of the Rings, sorry, not The Lord of the Rings. I'm a huge fan of The Lord of the Rings. Different fantasy, C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia, where Aslan actually defeats the White Witch through a deeper magic. And she has this plan to take him out. The devil may have plans for your life, and he may want to destroy you, but God always has a deeper magic. He has a deeper, better, more sovereign plan. And he's going to bring genuine wholeness to you. So whether it's finances, whether it's health challenges, whether it's relationship struggles, often those are the very things that God is using to get our attention and to open our eyes to what he's wanting to do. We all need Jesus to reveal himself to us. We all need him to reveal his truth to us. And guys, he knows exactly how to do it. We serve an amazing Jesus. He knows exactly how to get through to our hearts. He knows how to get through to you. What you can't hear right now, he knows how to open your ears so you can hear. What you can't see spiritually, he knows how to open your eyes. And he is bold enough to mess up your life for a little bit, to correct your vision. Now, it does not end there. The story doesn't end there. Thank God the story doesn't end there. Jesus uses other people. He uses others. He uses his people to then restore our vision. When we go through stuff, Saul, he goes through a really significant moment, life-changing. This is you want to talk about a come-to-Jesus moment. This is come-to-Jesus for Saul. Boom! I am Jesus. Whoa. And then he goes into Damascus, and there's a man named Ananias. And I love how God sets this up. Jesus tells Saul, there's a man named Ananias coming to you. And then he goes to Ananias and says, there's a man named Saul. I want you to go to him, and you're going to make him see. Ananias does not want to go. Would you really be thrilled? And I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But if you found out that, you know, that one of the key leaders in ISIS is waiting to meet with you, would you want to go? You know, wait a minute. This guy kills Christians. This guy kills everybody who doesn't agree with him religiously. And if Jesus says to you, I want you to go meet with him, you're like, I really need some ID on this prophetic word. Is this really you, Jesus? Like, I need credentials on this. I'm taking my life in my hands. This is what Ananias is experiencing. This guy, everyone knew, he is coming from Jerusalem to take out the Christians. But he responded. Sometimes, guys, you're the Saul in this situation, and you need your eyes opened. You need your vision restored, and God has someone in mind for you to open your eyes. Jesus could have done it himself. I'm Jesus. He goes, Jesus, I can't see anything. Okay, be healed in my name. And he did it. He's led by the hand, and for 3 days, he's blinded until another man of God comes. And his vision is restored through the people of God. Sometimes you're the Saul in this story. Sometimes you're the Ananias. When I was in college, went to the University of Montana, and my wife is already smirking. Diehard fan over here. Went to the University of Montana, and our freshman year, the Montana Grizzly football team went to the national championship. We got to fly to Huntington, West Virginia. And we went up against Marshall University. And we were the underdogs. But we went in and we beat them. We beat Marshall. We were national champions. It was amazing at the time. 1AA football. Now, I didn't know this. But while I was a freshman playing in the marching band, and I got to go. I was on the field. I had field time. National championship game. 50-yard line, baby. Playing my trumpet. So, unbeknownst to me, there was another freshman there by the name of Dallas Neal. Dallas was from Great Falls, Montana. And he had been planning to go play for Montana State Bobcats. But they didn't offer him as good a scholarship as the Grizz. So he came to Missoula. And as a freshman, he didn't get to play in that game. But he got the ring. He has the national championship ring. And he went on then to become our main kicker. University of Montana. Now, I didn't know Dallas. Dallas didn't know me. We had no idea who each other were. But one of Dallas's buddies was a Christian. And he came to our church. His name was Adam Boomer. And Adam wanted all of the football team to get saved. And so Adam invited his friend Dallas to come to church. And other friends. There were some others, just football buddies. And Dallas got drugged to church one day. I happened to be leading worship that day. I wasn't leading the meeting. I wasn't overseeing the meeting. I just was the worship leader. And I'm going along, playing along, worshiping, and I feel God speak to me and say, somebody needs to be saved right now. We're in the middle of worship time. Somebody like right now, and I just kind of looked at the pastor who was leading the meeting and said, I feel like there's something that we need to do right now. And I kind of looked at him a little hesitantly, like, is this okay? Can we do this? And he gave me the nod, like, okay, go for it. I said, there's somebody here, you came today, and you want to surrender your life to Jesus. And I feel like he's saying it's right now. You don't need to wait till the end of the worship time. You don't need to wait till the end of a message. You don't need to wait for anything. He's saying right now, will you surrender to me right now? Nobody moves. And our church, there was probably, there was probably around 250 people in the room. Nobody moves. I'm like, do I go on? What do we do? And I said, I really feel like this is, God is, he's drawing you and he's saying, now's your time. Like, come. There's somebody I'm speaking to right now. Nobody moves. There's nothing that builds your confidence like I've really heard from God when you're going for it and there's like crickets. I'm like, come on. Like, did I totally miss this? And I was like, I don't want to just go on and pass this up, but is there anybody, like, you know that's you. I was like, your heart's probably pounding right now. And all of a sudden, here comes this big football player coming down the middle aisle, along with Adam Boomer coming behind him. And it's Dallas Neal. And he comes down to the front and he just drops to his knees and begins to weep. Dallas, he kept being a star football player. Came out of, we both graduated, and he went on to play for the Atlanta Falcons and then the New York Jets. And now he's back in Missoula. After his NFL career, he joined a ministry called the Strength Team. Big football players, ex-football players going around breaking bricks for Jesus, tearing phone books in half with their hands, bending horseshoes with their hands, bashing things with their heads. I used to watch Dallas go running through, be like 10, yeah, like big old things of ice, and he'd run through 10 of them. Just, and they would say, look, people may not come to church on a Sunday morning. You might not be able to get your friends there on a Sunday morning to hear the gospel, but they'll come watch a bunch of meatheads break stuff with their heads. And they would get them there by breaking stuff and then share the gospel with them. Dallas Neal has led more people to Jesus through breaking bricks boards that are on fire, crazy things. Led more people to Jesus than I ever have. Because there was a moment that God had set up. Some friends drug him to a meeting he didn't even want to go to. They drug him to a meeting, and some obnoxious worship leader would not go on with the songs. And he came to Jesus that day. You may not be, and I may not be, this crazy evangelistic person. And people come to Jesus like you sneeze and somebody gets saved. Like, how do you do that? I used to just joke about that. Like, man, There's guys that, it's like they wipe their brow and somebody's like weeping and ready to come to Jesus. Like, what are you doing? You know, I'm not like, I can give this amazing gospel, lay it all out. And what happened? Ananias just obeyed. Jesus said to Ananias, there's a guy named Saul, and I want you to go, and he's going to receive his sight. He said, and I'm going to show him how much he must suffer for my name. And Ananias obeyed, and he went. We only hear about Ananias, I think, one other time. But Saul becomes Paul, who authors most of the letters of the New Testament, turned the world upside down. The church for generations, literally millennia now. A guy named Ananias just obeyed. And God used him to open the eyes and bring a guy named Saul into real vision. He didn't just restore his physical eyes, although he did. He opened his spiritual eyes, and Saul goes on to be a mover and a shaker. I got to be Ananias to Dallas and Neil, to the surprise of both of us. As there's going to be times where Jesus will lead you to someone specifically, and they may completely overshadow you. I'm happy for Dallas to overshadow me. He's known as a prophetic voice in the business community in Missoula now. Impacts a lot of athletes. He's still involved in the NFL. He's an influential guy. Completely overshadows me. Who's Jesus leading you to? There might be specific names and people that come to your mind right away, and you go, yeah, I know God is, he just keeps bringing this person into my path. Guys, he'll use you to open the eyes and restore the vision. Maybe it's someone who's hurting, someone who's broken, and they need their vision restored. They've lost their way. Maybe they're not physically blind or even physically broken, but they're completely lost spiritually. And God's going to use you to restore their vision. So what happens? Saul, who tried to destroy the church, is now confounding the Jews. He does Bible battle with the Hellenists. And he refutes them, and he's proving to them from the scriptures why Jesus is the Messiah. The very thing he couldn't see before, he's now so effective, amazingly effective, at confounding the other Jews who opposed Jesus. This is amazing. This is so encouraging. Because Jesus told Ananias, we're going to show him how much he must suffer for my name. But he also said, this man is my chosen instrument. Guys, you might feel like I've lost my vision. I need my vision restored. You might feel like that other guy that I know, I don't know if he could ever possibly come to Jesus. This guy is so hard-hearted. This guy is so opposed to the gospel. But Jesus knows better than you. Jesus has a plan. Jesus said, this man is my chosen instrument. Do you know that while Saul was presiding over the death, over the execution of Stephen, Jesus already knew, this man is my chosen instrument. While the rest of the church was afraid of Saul and didn't even want him to come in among them, Jesus knew, this man is my chosen instrument. Guys, God has a vision for his church. And his vision for his church will be accomplished. He's bold enough to blind us so that he can correct our vision. He'll lead us to people to restore our vision, but never lose sight of this fact. He has a vision for the church, and it will be accomplished. It will be accomplished. There is no stopping it. There's no stopping him. He knows how to build his church. Matthew 16, 18. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Cannot prevail against it. He knows how to build his church. He knows how to save the hardest hearts. He knows how to melt the hardest hearts. We sing that song. Melt the hardest hearts to make them new. For all you are, for all you do, we worship you. He melts the hardest hearts. He knows how to do it. And Philippians 1:6 says this. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. He will be faithful to complete it. He has a vision for his church. Nothing can stop it. The gates of hell cannot prevail. When God says we're moving in and we're taking ground, we're changing lives, hell can't stop it. The worst demonic anything can't stop it. ISIS can't stop it. No fascist anything can stop it. No government can. I mean, they may oppose it, but cannot stop it. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. And when Paul wrote that, same guy that was struck to the ground and blinded on the road to Damascus, same guy who begins to use his Gentile, the Gentile version of his name, Paul, guy who hated the Gentiles, decides to be known by being Paul. When he wrote that, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He wasn't just writing to a person. He was writing to the church. He who began a good work in you, plural, you together. That's we, us. Guys, he who began a good work in us, he has a vision and he will complete it. The end of this story, it says, church enjoyed a season of peace, and the church multiplied. And we don't want to confuse this, because while the church is enjoying this season of peace, Paul has to leave town because they want to kill him. It's interesting. God's version of peace and our version of peace may be slightly different at times. Saul has to be completely out of the picture because the threat is still real. The opposition is still real. Never confuse God saying, I will complete what I started in you, to mean it will be easy. And you won't have to deal with any more opposition. Saul, Paul, dealt with opposition his whole life. But guys, God's purpose was accomplished. His vision, God's vision, is accomplished. I wrote this down. God's purpose in our lives is to continually open our blinded eyes to his truth, to continually melt our hardened hearts, and continually fan those hearts into daring and passionate proclaimers of Jesus. God wants you to hear from him. He wants you to be able to respond in faith to him from a believing heart. He wants your vision restored. He wants you to be a part of building what he's building. Isn't that amazing? The same Jesus who could have just healed Saul, could have healed Saul on the road, but chose to use his church to restore Saul's vision. The same Jesus wants to use you to restore the vision of others. He wants to use you to build his kingdom and to build his church. He wants to partner with you. That's amazing. He could do it all by himself, but he wants to build with you. He wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with me. What a blessing. So what's Jesus speaking to your heart? How's he getting your attention? You have some things in your life, maybe you go, "Whoa, this is hard." How's he getting your attention? He got Saul's attention. This whole story was really about saving Saul. But it was bigger than Saul. It was about cities, peoples, nations. How's Jesus interrupting your life? Let's just bow our heads.